From WYPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. For many college freshmen, the thought of committing to a PhD is daunting. For students in the Meyerhoff Scholars Program at the University of Maryland, Baltimore County, it's a chance to be a leader. With three decades of know-how, increasing diversity in engineering and the sciences, the scholarship program is now expanding to two universities on the West Coast. Meyerhoff scholar Aaliyah Smith turned to her peers when she felt isolated during an internship.
I was able to reach back to my Meyerhoffs and, you know, have someone who understands what I'm going through give me some advice on how I could push through and remind me why I'm there, why I deserve to be there.
It's On the Record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at WYPR.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@WYPR.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're On the Record. The University of Maryland, Baltimore County, UMBC, sits serenely on a hilltop between Catonsville and Arbutus. No football team, no fraternity or sorority row. The school's reputation rests on its academic focus. Part of its success in that arena is about to be replicated on the West Coast. The Meyerhoff Scholars Program at UMBC graduates more African-American students who go on to earn dual medical degrees with PhDs than any other school in the country. The brainchild of UMBC President Freeman Hrabowski and philanthropist Robert Meyerhoff, the program over the last three decades has produced more than 1,100 graduates in STEM, science, engineering, technology, and math. Last month, Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg and his wife, Dr. Priscilla Chan, announced plans to donate $6.9 million to replicate UMBC's Meyerhoff program at the University of California, Berkeley and University of California, San Diego. As the program is cloned, what components must be included to achieve similar results? How will the programs in California differ from the scholars program at UMBC? I'm joined by Keith Harmon, director of the Meyerhoff Scholars Program. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And also with us is Mike Summers, professor of chemistry and investigator with the Howard Hughes Medical Institute. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Keith, the Meyerhoff Scholars Program is celebrating its 30th anniversary. How has the program changed since that first cohort was enrolled in 1989?
In 1989, the program began with 19 black males from the state of Maryland. We now enroll nearly 281 students from across the nation. A majority of those students in the earlier years were probably in life sciences. We now have a large number of students who are in engineering, technical majors, who are looking to pursue MD, PhDs, and a wide variety of degrees.
You mentioned that first cohort.
Yes.
Black men. Young black men. How has that changed?
Sure. In the second year, we admitted women into the program. In 1997, I believe with the M6 cohort, due to a court case down at the University of Maryland College Park, the program was opened up to all students regardless of race or ethnicity. And now we look to recruit high school students who are high achieving, have an interest in obtaining terminal degrees in STEM.
That phrase, terminal degrees, mm-hmm. always catches my attention as someone who is not in academia. You mean not deathly, but...
No, we mean PhDs and MD-PhD, the terminal degrees in STEM, the highest degrees that one can obtain.
How underrepresented are minorities in the STEM career fields today?
The numbers have improved, but we're not anywhere near parity where minorities are represented in the U.S. population. Freeman often talks about the numbers of NIH scientists who are underrepresented minorities, and I think we're just there at small 3%. Within the U.S. population, minorities looking at 34%, but we're nowhere near those numbers in being represented in STEM disciplines.
So the program involves internships, volunteering, mm-hmm. lots of time spent with other Meyerhoff scholars. What are the integral aspects of the program that other universities have to include if they're going to get the same kind of results?
Sure. The first we say is a standard of excellence. We're looking for students to perform at their absolute best, to find new levels of achievement, new levels of effort. Now, that's coupled with the idea that we will support and provide guidance and mentoring and all sorts of counseling and other supports at the same level that will give them a really wonderful, welcoming, inclusive environment where they will feel supported and where they will have the information and the knowledge to succeed.
Mike, let me pull you into this conversation. You've worked with dozens of Meyerhoff students in your lab. Do you see differences in how they conduct themselves compared to other undergraduates?
Sure. They come in prepared right from the beginning. Typically, an undergraduate might not even know about research opportunities. The Meyerhoff scholars are taught about these opportunities during their pre-matriculation summer bridge, so before they've even started on campus. And the Meyerhoffs come in, they typically are very, very strong academically. They're eager to do research. They have a resume that's a professional resume as a freshman. And they've looked up some of my papers, and they can ask questions that are intelligent questions about the work my lab is doing.
Tell me more about, you used a phrase, pre-matriculation summer bridge, which means what?
So it is a six-week program during the summer before the students start as freshmen that the students themselves like to call boot camp. The students will take, for example, a calculus course, and the students are told to organize into small groups and to study in small groups and to study as individuals, but the group gets the average grade of the group, and the entire class gets the grade of the weakest group. So now what you can imagine happens is after that first test, the students start to look around and say, who has the better preparation? Who could use some more mentoring? And then they reorganize.
So they sort of reorganize around supporting the weak link.
That's right. The concept of the summer bridge is, first of all, getting these students to admit they need help if they do, figuring out who has strengths and weaknesses, and then fostering a sense of supporting each other.
That's chemistry professor Mike Summers here on The Record on WIPR. He is a mentor to students in the Meyerhoff Scholars Program at UMBC. The program is for highly motivated students who plan to pursue doctoral study in the sciences or engineering. It's particularly focused on increasing diversity in the STEM field. And also with us is Keith Harmon, director of the Meyerhoff Scholars Program. So the Meyerhoff Program is open to students of all genders and races, but it's focused on increasing diversity. How has this program challenged biases about African American and minority students in the sciences?
Mm-hmm. There's a publication from our 10th or 20th anniversary, and it's entitled Changing Minds. And it shows on the cover, on the inside cover, a young black male tutoring a young white woman in chemistry. And it's actually, he was an undergrad at the time, it's now Dr. Kafui Zarasa, who is an MD, PhD, neurobiologist, and professor at Duke University, the first black male at Duke to earn the combined MD, PhD in neurobiology. He's now tenured. And at UMBC, he was a Meyerhoff scholar. He ran track. He was in lots of clubs and organizations. He was SGA president. The concept and the idea that a young black male on your track team is tutoring chemistry students is a change in paradigm. And so it's that very idea that excellence comes in all forms, and it's normatively distributed, right? Opportunity is not. And so the Meyerhoff looks at the model that potential and ability is all around us, and we're looking and supporting those students for whom we don't see highly represented in numbers, in terms of diversity, in terms of gender or race or ethnicity.
Mike Summers, I would think some listeners, having heard some of the points that you and Keith have made, would say, look, these are really talented students, and you've cleared the decks for them. I mean, they would do well anywhere. What do you say to them?
That's a really common perception. In fact, when I often talk about the program, people bring that up. They say, you're just cherry picking. And one of the brilliant things that Dr. Hrabowski did when he started the program is he made assessment part of what we do. And a key part of assessment is when we bring students and their families to our selection weekend to figure out who we're going to make offers to, we ask the parents to sign forms that basically say, if your son or daughter gets an offer from us to join Meyerhoff and you turn us down to go to the Ivies or some other place, that we can track them. So historically, about half the students we make offers to will go someplace else, and so we have this control group. So by every measure we can come up with, whether it's high school SATs or high school GPA or research experience or stated interest in their application materials or during the interviews that they want to be a scientist, by every metric, they should do well in our program. So if they go elsewhere, it turns out they do graduate with the similar high GPA, but they're half as likely to graduate with a STEM degree, and they're six times less likely to pursue a graduate degree. And so those students are not staying in STEM, and if they are staying in STEM, they're not moving on to leadership positions where they can be catalysts for change.
Replicating the Meyerhoff experience has already been attempted at two other schools. Tell us about the outcomes at Penn State and University of North Carolina.
About 6 years ago, the Howard Hughes Medical Institute said they would like to help us see if Meyerhoff could be replicated at an institution or two that's much different from UMBC. And so if you think about a place like UNC Chapel Hill, they have a less diverse student body. There's a medical school. It's a larger university. And then if you think about a place like Penn State, it's very isolated, 40,000 students, a much, much smaller minority population on campus. And a lot of people said it wouldn't work, that those schools wouldn't be able to attract and retain the best minority minds out of the high schools. And what we've now found is that's not true at all. In fact, there's a huge talent pool that's out there. People said you'd be competing for the same students. We are cherry picking, but there's cherries everywhere. And so they have found that they have been able to be as successful or more successful than Meyerhoff right in the very first year by partnering with us, by letting us help them understand how to set up this kind of program.
How involved will UMBC be in taking this program to California?
Well, we've had conversations with both institutions already. We've hosted UC Berkeley on our campus. Mike and I and a colleague, Mitzi Wiggs, have also visited with faculty to meet with administrators, to meet with folks who will be engaged with their program, and really understanding culture, our approach, the challenges there on their campus. We'll be involved in helping them understand how we select students, how we advise students, how we prepare students for internships, how we prepare students to apply for graduate and professional programs. And so all of that will be a part of our interactions moving forward.
So now the model is on its way to California. How will San Diego and Berkeley, how will their programs be different?
I think that they're going to have many similarities because it's going to be a requirement. I mean, if you want to work with us, then you need to follow the recipe. What is going to be a little different, though, is the Zuckerberg Foundation, the Chan Zuckerberg Initiative, is interested in correcting representation problems in the Bay Area and in California in general. And so I think entrepreneurship and some additional training in the area of industry and technology will be part of it as well. Now, those industries do need leadership at the PhD level. So the goal of producing minority leadership is still going to be a common goal, both at Berkeley and at UC San Diego. But I think they have very specific technology needs that they will be able to focus on as part of that initiative.
Thank you very much for this overview. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mike Summers is a professor of chemistry, an investigator with the Howard Hughes Medical Institute, and a mentor to Meyerhoff students. Keith Harmon is director of the Meyerhoff Scholars Program at UMBC. Quick break here. When we're back, a senior in the program and the first woman alumna to get an MD-PhD tell us about their Meyerhoff experiences. I'm Sheila Cass. This is On the Record. Stay with us.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. The Meyerhoff Scholars Program at the University of Maryland, Baltimore County has graduated more than 1,100 STEM students over the past three decades, and more African-American students who go on to earn dual medical and PhD degrees than any other college in the country. Now the program will be replicated at two West Coast schools, the Universities of California at Berkeley and San Diego. What do Meyerhoff participants view as the essential aspects of the program? How has being a Meyerhoff influenced their career paths? I'm joined by current Meyerhoff scholar and UMBC senior Aaliyah Smith, who's studying mechanical engineering. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
And also with us is Meyerhoff alumna Dr. Crystal Watkins, director of the Memory Clinic in the Neuropsychiatry Program at Shepherd Pratt and an associate professor of psychiatry and behavioral sciences at the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
How did you become a Meyerhoff?
I am from Baltimore, born and raised, and I was a graduate of Delaney High School looking at schools. And my parents actually heard Dr. Hrabowski speak at UMBC about this new scholarship program that had just started. And he had several young men that were there. One had just returned from doing research at Oxford, and another one talked about how he had turned down MIT to go to UMBC. And even though I had planned to go to Yale or University of Pennsylvania or Stanford, my parents encouraged me to look into the program. And then when I met Dr. Hrabowski, he said, well, what would you like to do? I said, well, I always wanted to be a doctor. He said, well, have you thought about being a doctor? I said, what is that? He said, you can get an MD, PhD. You can be a research scientist and a physician, not only treat patients, but discover new cures for the patients that haven't been implemented yet. And I thought that was just a very exciting thing to venture into as a 17-year-old. And that really is what caught my eye and attention to UMBC.
And so that's when you decided
UMBC was a place for you.
Aaliyah, how did you become a Meyerhoff Scholar?
So I actually learned about the Meyerhoff Scholarship Program through my high school.
Which was what?
Garrison Forest School in Owings Mills. One of the admissions representatives came to my high school to talk about UMBC in general, and my college counselor actually mentioned to the representative that I was interested in STEM and perhaps going to go to graduate school after my undergraduate career. And so he told me about the Meyerhoff Scholars Program, about Dr. Hrabowski, all about the what scholars are doing. And then I visited UMBC a few weeks later, learned more about the program and about UMBC in general. And that's kind of how I learned about the Meyerhoff Scholars Program.
You'll be graduating
Yes.
in just a few weeks. What do you think will stick with you about your experience in the Meyerhoff Scholars?
I think it will be really the sense of family. I know that I'll be able to reach out to my fellow Meyerhoff scholars and they'll reach out to me even after we graduate. And I know that I'll have this support system all around the country as we move on to graduate schools and other institutions. And I know that whatever I'm experiencing at that moment, if I have any issues or if I have any good news, I'll be able to share them with my fellow scholars. And I know that they'll do the same with me.
So give me an example of a problem that you encountered, and it was your Meyerhoff family that got you through it.
After my freshman year, I had my first summer internship experience, and that was at the University of Oxford in England. And so I was very excited. I was, you know, leaving the country to go do research, my first collegiate research experience. And when I got there, I was excited, but I started to really feel and recognize the disparity between men and women, minorities and the majority in STEM. And that's kind of where I started having these thoughts that, that's interesting. I don't see anyone that's like me in this experience. Do I really belong here? Am I meant to be here? And even though I was, you know, around the world, I was able to reach back to my Meyerhoffs who are at their, you know, respective institutions doing research and say, hey, this is how I'm feeling. What advice do you have for me? Or are you feeling this as well? And, you know, it just opened up that line of communication where I could have someone who understands what I'm going through give me some advice on how I could push through and remind me why I'm there, why I deserve to be there.
How did you push through? What did they tell you to do?
Well, they said, like I just mentioned, you've earned this. You've done the work. You know the material, and now it's your turn to apply it and be that student that goes the extra mile, ask good questions, and show your potential as a future researcher in the field.
Crystal, looking back, what Meyerhoff memories stand out to you?
One of my fondest memories was, I believe, my first biology class. And it was a very tough class, but I also wanted to have the college experience. So I was out on a Friday night and had come back. Exactly. Had come back from one of the parties they had on campus and immediately walked into the dorm. And there were probably about maybe 10 of my Meyerhoff classmates studying. And it made me stop and think at that point in time. It was a positive peer pressure. I can go to this party, or I can get my books and sit down with my other classmates and study. And that really set the tone for the next 4 years at UMBC. And it was really that camaraderie, that friendship, but also having someone help you through a class where you're used to achieving and not asking for help. So that's a really just positive experience to know that, you know, we could study together and have that influence.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast, speaking with alumna Dr. Crystal Watkins, director of the Memory Clinic in the Neuropsychology Program at Shepherd Pratt. We're talking about plans to expand the Meyerhoff Program, which produces more African-American students who go on to earn dual medical and Ph.D. degrees than any other college in the country. And also with us is Aaliyah Smith, a senior in the Meyerhoff Scholars Program at UMBC. She's studying mechanical engineering. The Meyerhoff program isn't just about preparing students for careers in STEM, but to be leaders in those careers. Why is this important?
Well, I think we've talked about statistics and with minorities in general, and I think they're 13% of the population, but only earn about maybe 6% of the degrees in STEM. And I think when we now, as someone who has a lab, when we think about Meyerhoff scholars, we think of, I'm going to get the best of the best. And so students come prepared to not only participate in research, but really engage and really set the standards of excellence. It's something that Dr. Hrabowski's always taught us. It's one thing to show up. It's another thing to be a leader. So even when we go to class, you don't just go to class. You sit in the front of the class. You don't just go to participate. You tutor others. You give back. Even as a professor, you're not only expected to do your work, it's required and a wonderful thing to actually have Meyerhoff students in your lab and come back to UMBC and speak. And for me, it was really having a mentor that was a woman that had children and was a successful researcher that allowed me to know that I could actually be a mother and also a scientist and a physician. And so part of being a leader is also making sure that I set a good standard and I'm a role model for other young women and men that are interested in the STEM field.
You were looking very serious, Aaliyah, while Crystal Watkins is describing that. Do you feel some pressure graduating as a Meyerhoff scholar?
There is some pressure, but I think it's good pressure. It's just pressure to make sure that not only that we succeed, but that everyone in the program succeeds.
Crystal, you're still involved with the Meyerhoff program in some ways.
Yes, I think we have a saying, to whom much is given, much is expected. And the Meyerhoff program really was a life-changing experience for me. It really laid the roadmap for me for my current career. And it is really an honor to be able to be this close still to the UMBC campus and see young, gifted and talented students like Aaliyah that have an idea that they're interested in research or that they want to do an MD, PhD, and come to talk to them about my experience as a Meyerhoff scholar and then also in medical school and graduate school. So I love giving back, and the students are also very much involved in the community. So it's a nice way to make sure that we're continuing that legacy that the Meyerhoff program has started.
Tell me more specifically what the dual degree has allowed you to do.
So In my area of expertise, I'm actually interested in Alzheimer's disease and dementia. And it's one of those unfortunate illnesses where we don't really have a lot of cures. We even have minimal treatments. And so as an MD PhD, the PhD allows you to think creatively about new ways to approach an illness. And that's what I'm able to do. So I see patients during the day. And then I also have different research opportunities where we're looking at new treatments for the patients, but then also new supportive environments and interventions for their caregivers. So it's just a wonderful way to say, well, we don't necessarily have a current treatment, but these are some things we can offer to relieve some of the burden that you have from this illness.
Aaliyah, what are your plans after graduation in May?
Yes, in the fall, I'll be attending Stanford University to pursue my PhD in aeronautics and astronautics.
With an eye to doing what?
That's a good question. Hopefully my time at Stanford will help me kind of see that more clearly. But I'm thinking my long-term goal is to have a career at NASA. I actually had a summer internship last summer at NASA Goddard, and I really enjoyed my time there and could see myself there long-term.
Well, I wish you luck. I hope it all goes well.
Thank you.
Thank you both. And congratulations to both of you. Thank you.
It's a pleasure talking to you.
Aaliyah Smith is a senior at UMBC and a Meyerhoff Scholar. Dr. Crystal Watkins, an alumna of UMBC Meyerhoff Scholars, directs the Memory Clinic in the Neuropsychiatry Program at Sheppard Pratt. She's also an Associate Professor of Psychiatry and Behavioral Sciences at the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. At the On the Record page at WIPR.org, we've got links to more information about the Meyerhoff Program. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cass. Glad you're listening. Join us again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.